Hey Mama, I'm your host, Brooke Jefferson. I'm a wife, mama to two, and business coach for moms with businesses. I'm on a mission to help you go from the best kept secret to a reputable brand that results in a profitable business. And the best part, you don't have to sell your soul to social media to achieve it. My very first business was a photography business that I started back in 2014, and by 2018, it became my full-time career, and I was able to leave the classroom. Along the way, I've built and scaled multiple six-figure businesses. I started this podcast as a way to encourage, equip, and inspire you on your entrepreneurial journey. If you're ready to find a community that supports you, implement strategies in your business that work, and uncover that confidence within you, this podcast is for you. Grab your kids some snacks and pop those earbuds in. It's time to grow and scale your business. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome back to the show. I know we've had you on at least once before, if not twice, but this one's going to be different because we're going to learn all about you and a little bit less about your craft. But for those who may not have heard any of those episodes, will you tell us who you are and what you do?
Yes. Well, Brooke, thank you for having me on again. It's so fun. Always getting to chat with you. I'm Elizabeth McCravey, and I'm a website designer and course creator. I live in a suburb of Nashville called Franklin, Tennessee, with my husband, Adam, and my toddler, who's about to turn two. He'll be two by the time this airs. His name's Colin. And then I'm also pregnant with baby number two right now, which I haven't shared anywhere yet. But since this is airing a little later, I'm like, I can share that now. But I design show website templates for women entrepreneurs. They're really creative and fun and easy to customize websites. And I also teach designers how to build an in-demand design business in my course, Booked Out Designer. And I'm a fellow podcaster like you.
Okay, my favorite thing about you is that you're so multifaceted like me, where we have to, when we say what we are, it's not just like, hi, I'm Brooke, I'm this, it's I'm this and this and this, oh, and this too. I love it.
Yeah, it is like hard to like be like, oh yeah, it's for these people, this thing, and then, oh yeah, and all I have a podcast. I always forget too, I also do real estate investing. So it's like, there's all these different things. It's like, what do you answer with?
Yes.
Love it though.
I love that. Yes, I love it too. And we're going to kind of explore some of that throughout our conversation today. So, okay, take me all the way back when you were a child and you were growing up. Maybe you were a little kid. Maybe you started thinking about your future in middle school, high school. What did you want to grow up and be? And what kind of life did you envision for yourself?
Yeah, when I was really, really little, I was interested in acting because I did acting classes growing up. And so that was really fun. And then I also was interested in like fashion design type stuff. My grandmothers, both of them were really into sewing. So I would like sew with them and really loved like the fashion side of design. But even then it was like, I was interested and drawn to like picking colors and textures and things like that. In middle school though, is when I feel like I really got a vision for my career that I completely forgot by the time I got to college and then remembered again. But in middle school, I got really into MySpace, like many people who are around the age 30 may have in that time in the world. But I was just so, so into MySpace. I feel grateful looking back, my parents even let me be on it at the time, because I know I had a lot of friends that weren't allowed on MySpace, but my sister and I made MySpace templates, I guess is what would you call them? Themes. I forget what y'all called them back then, but basically we designed through like HTML code and some CSS, these different designs for fellow teenagers to use for their MySpaces. And we also hosted another account that was like MySpace contests, which was a really big thing back then. And we grew both of those accounts really well and had lots of people using our templates. And it was like, for me as a middle schooler, I spent time, you know, during the normal part of the day, I did cheerleading and I did class and schoolwork and homework and all that. But then outside of that, I was like, I'm working on this MySpace account, these two different accounts. And it was a really just super fun way to be creative. And I had no idea it was a career opportunity back then. That's why I say it's like, it's something I forgot about by the time it like mattered picking a career. But like for quite a few years, that was like my passion was designing stuff on MySpace. And that translated into me making some random websites. I did more advanced computer science classes in high school and even got to like teach a website week in my computer science class. Like, but then again, I was like, I get to college time picking a career. And I was like, I forgot about all that, but that was what my interest was as a kid.
Okay. That is so fascinating. I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, how cool is that? That our middle school years, the things we love to do ended up being our career. Because oftentimes I tell people, like, I didn't pick up the camera until I had a 6-month-old, but that's actually not even true. I also went to acting classes and I was more of the model. I wanted my sister to take pictures of me, but I would take pictures for my friends. And I didn't even think of that until one day we were reminiscing and talking about MySpace. And I'm like, I would pay somebody a lot of money to go restore my MySpace account just to get all of those photos back. It is just so cool that looking back, that's what you love to do. And it resulted into a designing tech career for you. So that is really cool. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you forgot about that passion. So when you got to college, what did you have your eyes set on?
Yeah. So senior year of high school, when you're like picking your career and everyone's like, okay, what do you want to be when you grow up? Where are you going to college? What's your major? All that. I think I like still felt at that point in my life, I was very interested in being a business owner. I didn't know what kind of business, but I was like drawn towards entrepreneurship. My dad was a lifelong entrepreneur and I had other members of my family who'd also owned businesses. So something I like saw happening, but I felt so intimidated as a high schooler by the concept of like declaring that I was going to major in, you know, something that related to starting a business, which is such a common major, like business management. So like that's very, very normal major. But for me as a senior in high school, I was like, oh, I feel that feels like too much to like major in something like that. So I really loved anatomy and physiology and like sciences in high school. Also, why I loved computer science so much. I have like both a sciencey brain and a design brain, but I majored in nursing. So I went to college as a nursing major, never took a single nursing class though, because I basically, as soon as I got to, you know, your first year, you don't even really start classes in your major that first semester usually. So I hadn't yet. But then when it started to get time for it, I was like realizing like, wait, this is not actually what I want to do. And so I went to my college's career counseling center, which was so like a hidden gem no one talked about, but was so amazing. And they did a personality test with me that was like to help you figure out what kind of career made sense for you. And we did like multiple sessions. And then they ended up telling me that majoring in digital media studies would be the right major for me, which I was like, what even is that? I hadn't heard of that. It was a super, super small major in my school. I was the only girl actually to graduate in that major the year I graduated. There were not many of us, like 10 of us that year. So it was a really small major, but it was so perfect for me. It was a combo of computer science, graphic design, and then marketing. And it was like you took stuff in each class, in each like of those departments, and then you picked an emphasis, which mine was design. So it was awesome. And that basically, that major picking that is what led me to like what I do now ultimately.
That is definitely the major for you. So that personality test worked. That was definitely worth your time for sure. Okay, so it is so funny to hear that you went to college for nursing because so did I. And oh my then gosh. I actually had to take a break from college because my financial aid that I was on for some reason fell through. So I went back home and I actually worked like 2 or 3 jobs during that time until I eventually met my now husband and got pregnant with my daughter. Then I went back to college and actually decided to go like to teach. But it's funny you say that because I was always into science in high school as well. So the fact that we're both very sciencey and have creative brains is very cool. So after you graduated college with this major, what was your next step after that?
Yeah, so I immediately got a job at an advertising agency in Nashville, doing design work at the ad agency. So it's like combining that marketing side and the design side. And I felt so grateful to get a job. And I got one quickly. I had a lot of friends who, it's very normal, takes a while sometimes to get a job after graduating. But I was like, I nailed a great job. It's great pay. It's where I'm moving to. God, I'm not from Nashville, but I've lived here now for like 8 or 9 years, but since graduating college. And I hated the first job out of college, which was like such a tough thing to reckon with because I felt so grateful for it because it was a good job on paper. Like everything about it was like, you should like this. It's a fine job. I had lots of friends without jobs. When I looked at the idea of not having a job, I was like, we need my income. It's like, this is all like on paper, it should be good. But I really just did not like being there. I did not like this place has super corporate 9-to-5 aspect. We weren't allowed to wear open-toed shoes, which is so random as designers. It was like, just weird stuff like that. And you had like a very strict 1-hour lunch break that has to be between this time and this time every day. And just always sitting at your desk, whether there's work to do or not to do. And I found myself at that job taking a lot of freelance work because it was so inconsistent of like how much work there was for us to do. So I had during that time some different social media clients I was managing accounts for, and then a lot of different graphic design projects that were left over from an internship I had in college where I was still working with that company. So I was like doing this 9-to-5 while also invoicing people and like doing my own thing under like my DBA, like sole proprietorship I already had at the time. So I only had that job though for about 4 months before I quit. And I put in a notice for like 30 days after reading like the company handbook that's how much notice you give. And I'm like, okay, great. I'll have 30 days to find a new job. And I put in that notice and I left that day and it was like, okay, you're done. Like without the 30 days, which was like a relief because I really was ready to quit. Like they were great people there. And again, on paper, it was a great place to work, but I was so burned out from it and exhausted. I was also newlywed and new to Nashville. So I had a lot going on in life, you could argue. But I think it was a total God thing that I got a first bad job that led me to quit and then not like have to go figure out what's next. Because I think if I had a great first 9-to-5, I would have just kept at it and may have not started my business when I did. But yeah, so that was the first thing. And then I left and was like, not sure what I'm gonna do next.
Yeah. So you went in, you know, in there putting in your little notice thinking I have a little bit of time, and they were like, nope, that's okay. It's your last day. And you're like, oh, okay. So did you have any bit of panic or like, what did you go home and think about it? Talk to your husband. What was that process like going, I don't have a job?
I still remember that day when I left work early that day, even, which I'm like, never got to leave work early. We were at, our work was 8:30 to 5:30. And so I was always fighting Nashville traffic going home. But that day got to leave work early. And I still remember walking around my apartment complex where we lived at the time and just feeling like, okay, I have no idea what's next, Lord, but I'm like excited about this and this is what's meant to be and I'm going to figure it out. But it was nerve-wracking because my husband at the time, I say my husband's time, he's still my husband, but at the time he was on a first year ministry salary. So he worked for a nonprofit called Young Life, and they're better paid now than they were then. It was very like not a sustainable amount of money he was making. It was like, we needed me to make a good amount of money to make that work. And so that was a bit stressful, and pretty quickly, I had my little night of like, woohoo, I don't have a job. We're going to figure this out later. And then the next day I like pretty quickly started applying for jobs around Nashville, kind of looking for that same criteria that I had looked for of like working in design, working in marketing, tried to get a little closer to my house this time so I didn't have as bad of a commute. But I applied tons of places and did not get a job response back from anyone. So it was like originally out of college, it was like, okay, here's your job, just quick. Like one of the first ones I applied for, I got. And then this time I was sitting and waiting for like at least 2 months before I had like to make a decision about what's next, but like wasn't hearing back from anyone.
Goodness gracious, that would absolutely have me going, I wonder what's next. Now, because I've listened to your podcast and I've heard you talk about like your transition and your own journey, where did you nannying for people fit in here in this timeline?
Yeah. So that's what I did. So when I quit this job and was applying for other jobs, one of the first things I did while I'm like, okay, I don't know when I'm going to get a job. I put myself up on care.com to be a nanny. I also went back to teaching yoga, and I like did an interview with a local gym and started teaching classes there because I taught yoga while I was in college. Like that was like my job as a college student. I'm a certified yoga teacher still. I don't teach anymore though, but I went back to doing that. And yeah, I did a lot of nannying. So it was like, I was like, you know, waiting for someone to get back to me on a job. And in the meantime, I was nannying. I built up to 3 families where I was consistently with every week. So in reality, it was probably like maybe 20 hours a week of nannying. It might have been less than that, just depending on the week. But I had a family where I was at their house at 5 a.m. every morning or 5:30 to take the kids to school. The mom had to leave early for work. And then I was there when the kids woke up and took them to school. And then I had a little few hour gap to do something else. And then I had another child I was with, I think 3 days a week, where I was just hanging out with him in the middle of the day. So his entrepreneur parents could work. Then another family I picked up from school every day. So it was like, I was just kind of juggling things between these three families and then working in between. So I was still freelancing. And it was like, I kind of revved that up. I got another social media management client. I got an Upwork.com, which is a site for freelancers of all kinds, not just designers, but to find work. So I was constantly doing things on there. And all of that, I was just like, I was doing all that alongside applying for jobs. So I wasn't thinking like, these jobs I'm applying for on Upwork, this is me starting a business. It was like, nope, I got to make ends meet. And I loved it. So it was like, this is fun. I mean, I still feel like one of my favorite clients was like from Upwork. Like I loved those early days of like doing design work. And at the time too, I landed two pretty big design clients here in Nashville. And one of them, I actually went a few days a week and like worked with them at their headquarters. It was Logan's Roadhouse, if you've heard of them, but I got to do design work for them of like menu design and things like that. And I was like working in their headquarters as like a contractor. So lots of things like that happening.
Yeah.
That's when the nannying happened.
But that is so cool. And, you know, looking back, it's always like, that is really cool to watch how God still provided, even if it didn't look like the cookie cutter streamlined way that we thought it was going to, right? Like you assumed I'm going to graduate from college with this degree. I'm going to get this amazing dream job and I'm going to work 9 to 5 for the rest of my life. And then it didn't happen that way. So at what point did you go all in with, hey, I'm going to design websites for a living?
Yeah. So it was like a weird, like more subtle transition. I feel like sometimes people have a moment where it's like, this is when I started my business. And I did have that moment a bit later when I officially made myself a website and like posted about it on social media. I call that day when I officially started my business. And that was in March of like 8 years ago. So whenever that was, I'm like 2016, I guess. But anyway, I basically like subtly over time was just taking on more clients. It was going really well. And I remember having a conversation with both my dad and my husband, who are both just super big encouragers in my life. My dad's always been someone who was like encouraging of my creativity and ability to be an entrepreneur. And so him and both my parents like did a great job when I was kind of in this weird in between, you know, of like I had a college degree, I had a good job that I quit, and now I'm nannying. And neither of them were like, oh my gosh, Elizabeth needs to get a job, hurry up. They were both just like, she's going to figure it out. And so my dad, though, saw that like I was making good money, and Adam did too, my husband, but like from all these freelance stuff, and like that there was just a lot of potential there. Like I'd figured out, honestly, like a low cost to run business, which is such a great thing about online business. But then the ability for so much growth. And I basically just had a conversation with both. They were like, hey, like, why don't you like consider just doing this? And like, you know, you haven't heard back from any jobs, and this seems like something you're really good at, and you were interested in starting a business at some point anyway. And so I kind of just made a subtle transition of like, okay, I'm going to start pursuing this harder. And I still kept nannying, but I slowly over time went from like nannying being the bulk of what I was doing to the bulk of what I was doing design. And I kept one of those families, one in the morning, where I like kept working with them for like honestly about a year total, like after I had officially stopped, like it really started my business. But yeah, I ended up at a point where I made a website finally, and then, you know, made myself a professional email and like posted about on social media. But for a while I was just freelancing kind of behind the scenes, where I was getting clients through like local sources and Upwork, and not really marketing myself that well at first. But then I made that pivot, and then I really saw things grow, like especially when I got my website and like got more serious about it all.
Yeah. Okay. I love how it all, just really watching all the pieces come together and how you ended up going all in with your business. So at first, were you just doing one-on-one custom website work? Is that what that looked like before you added on all of these other streams of revenue?
Yeah, originally it started as social media management and some design. So I had about 8 clients that were on retainer with me, where I was doing all of their posting, which looked so different back then because there wasn't Instagram stories. There wasn't, you know, Reels and TikTok and things like that. So it was a lot easier, I feel like, to manage social media for someone than it would be now. And so that was actually like a really great source of income for me because it wasn't taking me a ton of time, but I was able to make like consistent recurring revenue from all these like social media clients. And then I was doing some branding and some websites, but also things like a brochure for like, I did brochures for like a hospital, like a local hospital here in Nashville, like stuff like that. So it's like did some billboard designs, like all kinds of random things. I eventually though, and I think this is a good thing to like think about for people listening, but like it's, I think it can be good to start out doing a lot of things, which is why I did. Cause I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. At one point I thought I was going to be a social media manager and that was going to be my business. And like the fact that I could do design was going to help in that job. And that's great. I realized though, through doing all the different things that like, okay, I actually don't love this social media management thing. I don't love how much technology can change in this and therefore that job change, which I think was a good call because I don't think I would love that now, like managing managing threads and TikTok and all the things for people. But I kind of realized I didn't love that one. And so I started taking those things off my website and said, emphasizing branding, website design. And so I still had some of those social media management clients because it was like, hey, what we're doing here is working. They like what I'm doing. I like working with them. I quit working, like canceled contracts with some of the ones that like were maybe not going as well. And I didn't feel like I was providing as much for them and then like working with them as much and then started pursuing the branding and websites. And at first I was actually on WordPress for my websites. And then I switched to Showit, like about 2 years or 3 years into my business and felt like that's when I really got into like, okay, websites are like what I'm doing.
Awesome. That's just so cool. I love it. I actually had no idea that you ever did social media management. Side note, we have way too much in common. I also was a social media manager I was a virtual assistant for probably 2.5 years and they were all for marketing clients for like companies and it was really fun. So
I had no idea. Again, that's so fun.
I know. That's so cool that we have all that in common, which probably we learned all those skills that help us in our own business today. So it kind of worked out. Okay. So I want to know, I'm going to kind of dip my toe into your other streams of revenue, because we know that obviously you have a very well-known website and branding business, but I want to know, at what point did you start adding on your course and your templates? And I know your templates came first. So if you want to talk about that first, you can.
Yeah. And it's so fun talking about different streams of revenue because it does change over time in your business. And the way you start is probably not how you'll end up long term. You have different offers that change over the years, especially when you stay in business for a while. For me, I got into Showit and then got really booked out of doing like lots of custom sites for people on Showit and really like loved doing that. I loved the creative freedom Showit gave me. And I felt like I was a better designer on it even. But then in 2018 is when I launched my Showit template shop. I believe I've been 2019 now. I know that it was 2018. It was the end of 2018. So that's when I launched my Showit template shop. And I started with just 4 templates and some simple like training videos that came with it. And I will say like, I've done lots of podcast episodes about this topic, but like there is so much strategy and intention, I think, that goes into that pivot between services to products that a lot of people don't think through all the way. Me being one of them, I actually tried to launch like after maybe being in business like 1.5 to 2 years, pre-made brands, which was like a thing still designer sell. It's like basically, you know, a logo and color palette and all that. And then someone buys it and you put their business name into it and all that. I launched that and was like, woohoo, this is a great way to like, people love this. I'm going to like make money. And you know, it's a little bit less work. No one bought it. Cause my audience did not want that from me. I'd done no marketing for it. I didn't have an email list. I was purely not set up to do that. And so then when I went to launch my template shop a few years later, it was like, nope, like my business is ready for this. My audience is ready for this. I'm ready for this. So I think there's a lot of like, you know, you live and learn. If you've had that happen to you, you know that like next time you'll come back stronger, like once you figured it out. But I was like, yeah, this isn't, the pre-made brands didn't work, but then the templates worked really well and they sold quickly. And that initial launch was like such a sweet week in my life when I think back on it, because it has like grown so much since then. I've had over 1,000 customers at this point, maybe closer to 1,500 now, who have bought templates from my shop. So that's when that happened. And then in 2020 is when I was it? Yeah, 2020. So pre-pandemic though, like so a few months before the pandemic, like earlier in the year, is when I launched Booked Out Designer. And that's my course for designers, teaching you how to build a booked out design business. So really it's all about like working with clients, marketing yourself, discovery calls, the financial side, contracts, like just truly like the business side of being a designer. And it's basically the course I wish I had had when I was like building up my service side of the business.
Yeah. Whenever you first started with your website templates, how were you marketing that? And how would you describe, like, did you have a pretty big audience when you first started doing that? How did you, I guess, really for the marketing side, because I think a lot of business owners get really tripped up with the marketing side of things. We like to overcomplicate it, overthink it. So how did you go from growing your social media presence in your website branding design business, and whenever you finally launched your website templates, what did your audience look like? And what were some of the ways that you marketed yourself?
Yeah, and you're right. It's like, it's hard. It's a hard thing to figure out. So when I was looking at like launching templates, I first of all figured out like, okay, how am I going to stand out in this market that already exists of people selling show it website templates? How am I going to be different? And then also from like a marketing perspective, how can I offer things that again are going to make you stand out? Like looking at like, okay, what else is happening? And at the time, one thing I did differently was that people were not selling show it templates that were not for wedding industry people or photographers, because back then show it was still marketing themselves as like the website builder for photographers. It was actually in 2020, like end of the year, that show it like officially changed that to being like, we're website builder for people who want creative freedom on their website, which was such a smart move for them. I'm sure it has been huge in their success as well. But before, they used to be like just photographers. So I was selling templates that were not just for photographers, which was like a quick way to stand out there. And then from a marketing perspective, one thing I did in that launch week was I thought about like, okay, hey, I'm like probably not going to sell a ton of these, which I think I sold like maybe 8 in the first week, which felt like a huge win. Cause I was like, I don't know how many, like if it could be 0 again, like for my pre-made fans, who knows? But I knew I was not going to sell a ton. And that's something like listeners, like you guys can know probably a good grasp on like how many ish you think you'll sell. I love doing like good, better, best goals and thinking about it, but you still probably know like, hey, like the most I'm going to sell this is 15 spots or whatever it is. So ask yourself like, what personal touches can you do? Because it's not that many, that someone who's like a bigger version of what you're doing cannot do because they're selling 50 of this, you know? So for me, that first week, I did a discount on all the templates, like $50 off. But then everyone who bought the first week got a one-on-one call with me to go through their website after they had like finished customizing it, and like where I would go through and do tweaks on it. I mean, I spent probably like a half day on each of those people between the call and me doing edits to their website after and before, and making them a Loom video. Like I gave them so much one-on-one attention. It was helpful for me too, because I got to see on those calls, like, okay, what did not work that well in the template? What was not clear in the training video? What questions were just like, oh my gosh, they can't figure this out. And that was really helpful for me too, from like a growing the business standpoint. But that was something that like I can't offer now. Like I'm not going to do a launch week where everyone gets a one-on-one call with me for free, because that just doesn't make sense. But it made sense then. So I'd say like asking yourself, what can you do to offer something that's like more above and beyond? In Booked Out Designer though, like that's a good example. I've done actually my last promotion period on day one, everyone who purchased the course on day one got a free one-on-one call with me. And I can do that because I knew it was like probably going to be like maybe 5 to 8 people that bought on day one, but then maybe in a few years, if it's like 30 people on day one, I'm like, okay, I don't know if I can do that anymore. So it's like, you kind of know your numbers and then figure out what you can do to offer within that.
Okay. So you brought up two amazing points that I don't feel a lot of people talk about. And the first one, especially about when you're starting, you're going to go through different phases and stages and growth of your own business, of your audience, of your marketing. And I just don't feel like enough people talk about realistic expectations when it comes to launching and selling something and, you know, putting yourself out there. And I love that you're very transparent. Here's my sales. Here's what I did. Here's what I expected. And I also know that for you, being able to offer those one-on-one customizations that really helped you stand out, which was the second point that you brought up, I know that that prepared you for creating your blueprint course, right? Like the actual behind the scenes of, hey, when you buy a website template from me, you're also getting a amazing course that comes with it that teaches you how to use Show It, how to customize it. And so, which I think is amazing, because when I bought your website template, I got access to that course. And that's how I learned Show It. The biggest thing I hear, especially with a lot of our photographer audience, is I got Show It and now I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to use it because I don't know how. And so I love that you are adding a course that goes with it. And you were able to be there to help support people to actually understand it, because it is a learning curve. Show It is a learning curve. However, once you figure it out, you never want to leave. And I can attest to that, because I've been with Show It for a very long time now. So.
Yeah. And that's true, that it was like that course did come out of like me kind of seeing that gap. And it was kind of like a, why not? Like, I can make an awesome course about this and just include it with people's purchases, versus how a lot of more people are including tutorials now, I will say, with their templates. But a lot of shops, it's like they just point you to Show It's resources, which are great, but there's so many of them. It can be helpful to kind of like condense it into like, just take this course step by step through it, and giving people videos and their specific templates and all that. So it's fun though. I hear so many people tell me though that that course is how they learn Show It. And it is like, yep. Even other designers who've like used my templates for template customization or bought a template to learn Show It through the course. And it's like, that's a really fun, like, special thing, because Show It is amazing. You don't want to leave once you've started with it. So
it's so true. Okay. So one of my favorite things to watch you do in your business is when you are in product creation and when you launch something. And here's why. I definitely want you to share just a couple tips with everybody about how you either prep for launches, or if there's something you specifically learned, or whatever that is. But one of the reasons why is because you don't seem like someone that comes up with an idea in a day and launches something tomorrow. And that's something that we see a lot, especially in the online space. And I'll be honest, I have ideas all the time and I want it here like tomorrow, but you take the time to really build it out, take your time to design it, to speak with people. So I want to know a little bit behind the scenes of your product creation. What are some things that you, maybe your process or something that you keep in mind whenever you're thinking about launching something new? And then when it comes to launching, I feel like you launch so seamlessly that like, I'm just amazed every time you launch something. And so I'm just curious if you have some tips or tricks for those people who are like, I really like want to add another revenue stream, but I'm just like totally confused on how to even go about creating it and then launching it.
Well, thank you for those kind words. I appreciate that, because I don't always feel like it is seamless. I'm trying to think though about tips for that, because there is so much that goes into it. I feel like it's different with different products. For me, something that has been really helpful, that's actually like a newer thing for me in business that I've not done the whole time, but as you are thinking about adding in new streams of revenue, it's really helpful. And Brooke, you know this because you're in my membership, but I started a membership last year, like a membership site that I closed after not that many months. And that was a whole interesting experience of like, you know, it went really well, but I did not like having a membership site and I didn't feel like it was ultimately a good offer. So like, I have done the product creation thing and messed up. That was a great launch though. I will say, I feel like the launch of the membership site went really well. And it was super fun, but like, it ultimately wasn't an offer I ended up keeping. But something I do now when I am thinking about adding new offers is like making sure it fits into the business goals for the next few years, which sounds so basic, but like, I feel like once you really get going in your business and get areas of your business that are working well, we can have so much like shiny creation syndrome almost, because like you're saying, Brooke, you have so many ideas as an entrepreneur, and a lot of business owners are like ideas people, and you do move quickly with it. Whether that's quick to like bring it to market or quick to like pivot your entire business to like start working on creating something. But for me, when I think about when I made that membership, I was at a place where my template shop was running smoothly, booked out designer was running smoothly, and I was really excited for like something new to like work on and thought it made sense, and it didn't. And so something I do now is like, really evaluate like where the business I'm trying to take it in the next few years, not down to all the nitty gritty, because there's so much unpredictable, especially like I know a lot of moms are listening. Like for me, I'm like, you know, I just recently found out I'm pregnant again. And that completely shifts like what the next like year of my life is going to look like. And so you can only plan and predict so much there, but having like, these are the directions I'm taking my business. And if the thing does not fit into it, not letting yourself do it at this time, but focusing on other things. And with the like shiny creation syndrome concept, I think something that's helpful is if you decide like, hey, this thing I want to make, it's actually not the right time for it. Asking yourself, what ways can you pour more energy and excitement into the other areas of your business that might be working fine, but could be doing better, and trying to put your energy there instead. So that's something that's helpful to me. As far as like launches specifically, I actually do really simple launches, and that's something that I've always liked doing. I might be more complex at some point in my life, but I'm actually someone who does not do webinars. I've only ever done one webinar for a launch, and it did go well. It was for Book.Designer the second time I opened the doors back when it was like open and closed door. I don't run Facebook ads right now. I've never run a single Facebook ad for Book.Designer, and we're at about 170 students now, all like without paid ads. But for my templates, I used to run ads. I just don't anymore, like currently. So like launches though, it's typically like me planning some unique things to really draw people in, picking different emphasis for different launches. And it's usually like email based, where I'm sending emails to my list and then posting on social media. And it's like, that's kind of how I do it. And it ends up feeling like really fun and chill. Often launch weeks are like some of the most chill weeks for me, because I don't book a lot of meetings. And instead I'm just kind of like managing, like making sure things are going out well and making sure I'm showing up and creating content. But yeah, I think the idea that launches have to be like crazy stressful is not, oh, another thing I like to do is giveaways with launches. That's a really fun thing to like to do like pre-launch. But yeah, I feel like I try to make launches chill and it's fun. Dude, I love launching because of that, I think.
Love your approach to launching and how simple you keep it. And I also feel like we got like a 7-minute crash course on product creation and launching. So that was perfect. I love how you do things. And so it's one of those, I want to pick your brain because I'm sure people are thinking it too, but yes. Okay. So, oh my gosh. So much fun. So many good things. I could sit here and ask you 5 million more questions, but I won't. But I do want you to tell them where people can find you, and also about your podcast, because if they like this one, they're going to love yours.
Yeah, thank you, Brooke. Yeah, so, okay, you can find me at elizabethmccravey.com. That's where my website templates are. That's where my course Book.Designer is as well. And I'm at Elizabeth McCravey on like all social media. And my podcast is called The Breakthrough Brand Podcast. Brooke will actually have been on an episode before this one airs. So it actually will probably be a recent one when you guys are hearing this. So you can go over there and hear our episode. We're talking about faith in your business. It's a really great interview. We already recorded it, so I'm like, I know this was a really great conversation. But yeah, so on that show though, on Breakthrough Brand podcast, I do a lot of solo episodes where it's me sharing like, hey, here's what's working in my business. I have some episodes about like faith encouragement for business owners, a lot of stuff about working mom life and marketing strategies, how to have a great website, all kinds of productivity, all kinds of fun stuff like that.
Yeah, your podcast is awesome. You guys be sure to go listen. Elizabeth, thank you for sharing your story and giving us that crash course. I know it's going to be helpful to so many listeners, and I'm sure we'll see you again real soon.
Yes. Thank you, Brooke. This was so fun.